Today's shir is a Masechta Ksubos on Daf Tzadik Gimel. We begin with the Mishnah near the top of the Yomid. Says the Mishnah, Misha haya nasi shalosh nashim umes, a person who was married to three women, and he died. And now we have to collect the Ksuba from the estate. Ksubasa shazumana, the Ksuba of one wife was 100 zuz, Vishalzu Messiah, and of the second wife it was 200 zuz. Vishalzu, and of the third wife it was Shalosh Meres, it was 300 zuz. And there is not enough in the estate to satisfy all of the three ksubos. Rashi tells us, in the first Rashi in the Mishnah, that Shlosh de Nechtemu B'yoyim Echad, all three ksubos were signed on one day. There were no hours written in the Ksuba, and therefore everything goes by nightfall, and therefore it's considered as if they were all written at the same time. Because, says Rashi, if they were written on different days, then there would be no question that the first Ksuba that was written would have the right to collect from the estate and satisfy her lien on the estate. Then we would go to the second one, and then on to the third one. But as it was, they were all written and signed on the same day. And now there's not enough in the estate to satisfy all three. One is a ksuba for 100, one is a ksuba for 200, and one is a ksuba for 300. So the Mishnah is going to give us a formula of how we try to settle the estate. No one is going to get everything that they want, but how will we satisfy to the best of our ability the liens of all three women on the estate. Now, we do not do the following. If there is a ksuba for 100 and for 200 and for 300, that means the obligation of the husband was for 600. So we could say that each woman should take a part of the field proportionate to her lien. The woman whose lien is 100, that's 1/6 of the estate. So she should take 1/6 of whatever is available. The woman of 200, 200 out of 600 is 1/3 of the estate. So she should take 1/3 of whatever is available. And the woman who has 300 ksuba, that's 1/2 of the estate she should take. That's 1/2 of the entire obligation. She should take 1/2 of the estate. We do not say that. That's not the formula that the Mishnah is going to use. We also don't say the following, which we will find in the Gemara, is the sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe tells us in the Gemara that our Mishnah is going according to Reb Nosson. And Rebbe says, I don't agree with Reb Nosson. What's Rebbe Shita? That the woman who has 100 has just as much a lien on the entire estate as the woman who has 300, or as the woman who has 200. And therefore, until her lien is satisfied, she shares equally with the other women. And therefore, let's say the estate is worth 300 zuz, they would divide equally. The woman of 100 would get 100, the woman of 200 would get 100, and the woman of 300 would get 100. Then let's say the estate is worth 400 zuz. So the woman of 100 would get her 100, and then she's out of it. The woman of 200 and 300 would also get an 100, and then there is 100 left, because the estate is worth 400. That 400 would be divided equally between the woman who's owed 200 and the woman who's owed 300. And so on, we would go until the lien of the woman who has 200 is satisfied, and then if the estate is worth more, whatever's left, we would give the woman of 300. That would be another method that could be used to solve this issue. Our Mishnah does not go that way either. That's the sheet of Rebbe, that, for example, in our case of 100, 200, and 300, and the field is worth 300, according to Rebbe, you first have to make sure that at least the one who's owed the least is satisfied before you go further. And if there's only 300, then everybody is equal in the claim against the 300 estate, and they share it equally, 100, 100, 100. Our Mishnah has a different formula. The formula of our Mishnah is that your lien is only up to the amount against the field of the amount that your lien is equal to. If the field is worth 300 and you're owed 100, you can only have a part of the 100. The fact is that the woman of 200 and the woman of 300 also want that same 100 to satisfy their lien. Therefore, you share the 100 three ways. The 200, the second 100 that the estate is worth, the woman who's owed 100, according to the formula of our Mishnah, is out of the picture because she only has a chance to collect her lien from the exact amount of the field that's equal to her lien, which was 100. And on that, she's going to get a third, which is 33 and a third. So when it comes to the second 100, she's out of the picture. The only two women who have a claim for the second 100 is the woman who's owed 200 or the woman who's owed 300. So they take the second 100, the second mana, and they divide it 50-50. The third 100, the only woman who has a legitimate lien against that, is the woman who's owed 300. And therefore, she would take the whole 100. This is the formula that our Mishnah uses. Now, let us see how this works out in the Mishnah itself. Again, Mishayon Nasi Shloish Nashim Umeh, someone who's married to three women and he died, Ksubasher Shelzu Mana, Vishalzu Masayim, Vishalzu Shalosh Meis. Ve'ein Sham Elamana, there's only 100 in the estate. What do we do now? So according to our formula, that you can claim from the estate up to the amount of your lien, every woman has a lien against what the estate is worth, which is a monarch. Because even the woman with the lowest ksuba, her ksuba was a monarch. So in this case, chalkim b'shava, they all divided equally. Everybody gets a third, because everyone has an equal lien on this 100. The woman of 100, or the woman of 200, or the woman of 300, all have a legitimate claim to this 100. Therefore, they divided equally, 33 and a third to each. Hoyesh ha-masayim. What happens if the estate is worth 200? So now we would expect, if we were writing the Mishnah, according to the formula that we have given, so we would have said that in the first mana, all three women have a claim to it, they shall get 33 and a third. In the second mana, only the women who are owed 200 or 300 respectfully, they have a claim on the second 100. And therefore, they should divide it equally. The woman of mana is out of the picture. The only two women is Isha number two and Isha number three that lay claim to the second 100. They divide equally as 50. So it would come out that Isha number one gets from the whole 200, 33 and a third, and Isha number two and Isha number three would get 50 and 50 each, and 33 and 33 each, which means a total they would get of 83 and a third each, and 83 and a third, 83 and a third, and 33 and a third would come to a total of 200. That's what it should have said in the Mishnah according to the formula. The Mishnah does not say that, and the Gemara immediately will ask why, in fact, the Mishnah is going to tell us a different cheshbon. What does the Mishnah say? Shel mana, the woman who made a claim on the 100, whose ksub is only 100, noi telas chamishim. She gets 50 instead of 33 and a third. She gets 50. Shel masayim v'shel shalosh meis, the one of 200 and 300, since there's 150 left, and they both have legitimate claim to that 150, so they split it, 75 each. That's what the Mishnah says. Shloisha, shloisha shel zov. They each get three dinarim of Zov, which Rashi tells us a golden dinner is equal 25. In the Rashi, Shaloi Shal Zov, Shaloi Shal Dinri Zov, V'chol Dinner Zov, Esther V'chamisha Dinri Kesev is equal to 25 silver dinarim. So therefore, if they're getting three gold ones, that's equal to 3 times 25 is 75 silver dinarim. So the Isha of Amana got 50. The remaining 50 is divided equally amongst the other two women, 75 each. Hayusham shalosh meis. What happens if we had 300? The estate was worth 300. So again, according to the formula that we had stated at the beginning of the Mishnah, The three women are entitled to split the first mana, 33 and a third each. The second mana is divided between Isha number two and Isha number three. That would be 50 each. And the third mana should only be taken by the woman who has a ksuba of 300. So it should come out that Isha number one gets 33 and a third. Isha number two gets the 33 and a third of the first mana and 50 of the second mana is 83 and a third. And Isha number three gets 33 and a third of the first mana, 50 of the second mana is 83 and a third, and she gets the entire last mana, which she's the only one to lay claim on that third mana, and therefore her total should be 183 and a third. Again, the Mishnah does not state that. What does the Mishnah state? The Mishnah says, Hayisham Shoshmeis, Shel mana netas chamishim. The mana gets to 50. Visham Asim, the one who has a lien of 200 for her ksuba, she receives mana, 100. Vishal Shalishmeis, the one who has a lien of 300, she receives Shisha Shalzov, 6 golden dinarim. Each dinner is worth 25 shalkesef, 6 times 25 is 150. So 50 to the Isha of 100, 100 to the Isha of 200, and 150 to the Isha of 300. The Gemara will ask, this does not seem to equal the formula that we mentioned. The Gemara will give 2 terutzim, and according to both terutzim, we do apply the formula, but the Mishnah is speaking about a certain case, and based on that specific case, the formula works out the way the Mishnah states. And the concluding remark of the Mishnah is, V'chein gimel sheitilu lekis, if 3 shutvim, 3 partners, pooled their money in a wallet, in other words, they made a business venture together, and each one had contributed a different amount of money, and then pichasu, oy hoisiru, they made a loss or a profit. How do they divide it up? Kach hein chalkin, they divide it up, as we learned before in our Mishnah, proportionately, according to what their investment was, that's how the profit and loss will be divided. And of course, on this, Tosfos immediately asks, in the Tosfos, the fourth last Tosfos on the Yomid, Divri Amaskel v'chein shloisha shitulikis, says Tosfos, loy havi mamish dum yudereisha, dehocha kol echad noitel fi moisev. As we pointed out at the beginning of the Mishnah, our Mishnah does not state that we divide up the estate proportionately. As we said, that the woman of 100 should get a sixth of the estate, the woman of 200 should get a third, the woman of 300 should get a half. That's not what the Mishnah states. So how can we say at the end of the Mishnah that we divide the same like the beginning? We're not dividing. The end of the Mishnah is saying they divide it proportionately, and the beginning of the Mishnah had a special formula concerning ksuba. So the Rishonim say that what the Mishnah means to say is that we don't divide it equally. That's the point. That the common denominator between the Reisha and the Seif of the Mishnah is that it's not divided equally. The Reisha has a special formula, Lagabi Ksuba. The Seif has proportionately according to how much you invested. That's the profit or loss that you will see at the end of the day. But the point is that it's not equally divided. The Rabbeinu Chananel, Tosfos brings down, says, Pirush Abova Basraisakoi. It's going on the last case. The last case of Ksuba is working with the formula. Again, it's a special case which we'll have to wait till the Gemara to see exactly what that case is. But it is based on the formula. But it happens to be the formula works out in that special case that when the field is only worth 300, then the woman of 100 gets 50, which is a sixth. The woman of 200 gets 100, which is a third. And the woman of 300 gets 150, which is a half. So the formula of ksuba in that special case works out to proportionate. That's not so in the first case of the Mishnah. That's not so in the second case of the Mishnah. But it is that way in the third case. On that, the Mishnah concludes, V'chein gimel shitil l'kis, pichas u'ayisir, kachein cholkin. That by mekach u'memker, in a business venture, when partners pooled their money together, they split proportionally exactly like it comes out based on the ksuba formula in the last case of ksuba when the estate was worth 300. It just works out there that it does work out proportionally, and that's exactly how you split profits like the last case of the Mishnah. That's how the Rabbeinu Chananel learns what the Mishnah means. Now let's begin the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we learned in the second case of our Mishnah, Shalmona Neitalas Chamishim, when there was the woman who was owed 100, the woman who was owed 200, the woman who was owed 300, and there's only 200 in the estate, so the one who took, who's owed 100, she takes 50. Shalmona Neitalas Chamishim, ask the Gemara the question that we mentioned in the Mishnah, 50, Tulasa Vitilsa Vitilsa Hudias Law. She should only get 33 1/3 because she only has a right to share with the other two ladies in the first 100. So 100 divided by 3 is 33 1/3. How does she wind up getting 50? Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, you're right, it's speaking about a special case. Again, we're using the formula that we mentioned, but in a special case. What's the case? Because Seves Balas Masayim LeBalas Mana, the woman who has a lien on this property of 200 for her ksuba, writes to the woman who's owed 100, Din Udvorim Ainli Imach B'mana. I have no discussion back and forth with you. I'm not going to go to court to try to make you lose on my account. I have mercy on you, I have rachmanis, and I don't want you to lose anything because of my claim. So against you, I have no claim. So therefore, the first 100 now is only divided between two women, between woman number one and woman number three. That's why woman number one divides the 100 by 2, which gives her 50. And that explains why she gets 50. But the Gemara right away asks, Ihachi emaseifa, tell me the last part of that middle case. How do we divide the rest of the 150? Shalmasayim v'shal shalosh meis. The woman of 200 and the woman of 300, what do they do? Shalosh shalosh shal zov. They divide 3 dinare zov, 3 golden dinar, which are each worth 25 dinarim of silver. 3 times 25 is 75. So the first woman got 50, and they each get 75. So the Gemara says, why? How does that work out? Tema lo, let the woman of 300 tell to the woman of 200, hasal salkat nafshech mina. You separated yourself from the first 100. So your whole discussion with me is in the second 100. So you should get 50. In the second 100, you'll get 50, and I'll get 50. In the first 100, the woman of Mana will get 50, and I'll get 50, because you said that you're not going to have anything to do with the first 100. So it'll come out that I should get a total, if there's 200, I should get a total of 50 from the first, 50 from the second, is 100, and I should get the remaining 100. The third 100, which you have no lien against, according to the formula of our Mishnah, that should go only to me. So you share with me the second 100, I share with the woman of the Mana the first 100, and then I keep for myself the third 100. So I should get 150, you should get 50, and the woman of the Mana should get 50. Why do you get 75? The Gemara answers, Mishum da Amra Law, because the woman of 200 can say to the woman of 300, Midinu Dvarim Udislikin Avshoi. What I didn't, I wasn't Michael my entire claim against the estate. I only said that I am taking away my claim against woman number one. I don't want her to suffer anything because of me. So I'm taking myself out only as far as woman number one is concerned. As far as woman number three is concerned, who's getting a big chunk of the estate, I want to get every cent that I can. And therefore, if woman number one took 50 and is left 150, I am claiming I'm supposed to get 200 and there's only 150 left. You're supposed to get 300 and there's only 150 left. So we shared 150. We get 75 each. Tosfos says in the third bottom Tosfos, they were maskal d'amra lo yispar shapra time adamilsa. It's not really explained clearly how woman number two, who's owed $200, how she can get away with this. And actually, the Rishonim point out, she's hurting woman number three. Because if it would go normally, so then woman number three should get 83 and a third. She would split the first 100 three ways. She gets 33 and a third. She would split the second 100 two ways. She gets 50. 50 and 33 and a third is 83 and a third. And now, because of, let's call it the shenanigans, or we don the kavskos, the rachmonis that she had, this the woman number two, for woman number one, but she's causing a hefsid. She's being a tzedekis on the cheshbon of the third woman who's losing out from 83 and a third. She's only getting 75. With what strength is she able to do it? So there are Rishonim who say that is the chiddush here of the Gemara, that is Shmuel's chiddush over here, that since no one has received anything yet, it's all dependent on what they can get from Beis Din in terms of the lien that they have on the property, woman number two can say, I don't want to jeopardize anything concerning woman number one, but I do want to get as much as I can from my claim against the estate based on what's left of the estate once we've given woman number one her maximum. Her maximum is 50, if I take myself out of the parsha. And then what's left? 150. But on that 150, I want to get as much as I can. And therefore, she is entitled, even though it's at the detriment of the woman number three, she is entitled to say, I have a 200 dinner claim on what is left, which is 150, and my claim is as strong as your claim as far as that goes. Let's split the 150 two ways, which is 75 each. There are other Rishonim who are not happy with this, as we saw in Tosfos, doesn't seem to be happy with this, and they learned that either woman number three explicitly agreed with this, or the Miri says, Shtiki Koido, she didn't say anything when she heard woman number two saying this to woman number one, writing it down to woman number one, she agreed with it, and therefore, whatever pshat we learn in the Gemara is saying that woman number two has the power to do it, so it comes out, according to the Teretz of Shmuel, we are working with the formula, but it's in a unique case where woman number two didn't want to jeopardize woman number one, and that's why woman number one wound up with 50, and number two and number three split the 150 to 75 each. Continues the Gemara, the next part of the Mishnah. How are we going to learn the next part? Hoyusham shalosh meyos, the field was worth 300. And we said in the Mishnah that woman number one gets 50, woman number two gets 100, woman number three gets 150. The Gemara asks, shomasai mona, woman number two gets 100, shivim chamisha hude isla, she should only get 75. The Gemara is assuming that the third case of the Mishnah is going the way we learned the second case of the Mishnah. So again, woman number two said to woman number one, I don't want to have anything to do with hurting your chances of getting as much as you can. I'm going to take myself away as far as you're concerned, not as far as woman number three is concerned. So woman number one gets 50. On the third 100, the only one who has a legitimate claim is the woman who has a lien of 300. So she's going to get that whole third 100. What's left to have a division between woman number two and woman number three? There's left 150. So the 150 should be split in half, 75 each. So it should come out that woman number one should get 50, woman number two should get 75, and woman number three should get a total of 175. Why is it Why is it that woman number three gets 150? She should get 175 because woman number one got 50 and woman number two will get 75, which is 125. And 300 minus 125 is 175. Why does woman number three only get 150? Why does the woman number two get 100? So the Gemara answers, Amar Shmuel, said Shmuel, it's not the same case as before, that woman number two told woman number one, I'm not going to stop you from getting your maximum of 50. But rather, here it's speaking about as follows, a unique case. Because Seves Balas Sholish Meis, Labalas Masayim, Ulabalas Mona, Dinu Dvorim Ein Liyimachem Bimona, where woman number three this time, here's the first change from the second case. In the second case, it was woman number two. Here it's woman number three, who's owed 300 mois. She says that in the first Mona, I won't bother anyone. Here's the second change of this case, according to Shmuel. It's not just that woman number two told one of the women, namely woman number one, that she won't have anything to do with jeopardizing her 50. It's woman number three speaking to two women, to both woman number one and woman number two, that what? That in the first 100, I want you both to get your maximum. But whatever I can get from the rest of the ksuba, from the estate, I would like to get. So if so, now the Mishnah works out perfectly. Because in the first mana, who is dividing the first mana? Only woman number one and woman number two. So they get 50 each. In the second mana, who's dividing the second 100? That's only woman number two and woman number three. Because woman number one is out of the picture according to our formula. She can only have lay claim equal to the amount of her lien, and then she has to divide it with anybody else who has a lien. So after the first 100 is divided between her and woman number two, she's out of the picture. Now comes 200 into question. Who has a lien on that? Woman number two and woman number three. So they take 50 each. And now what's left? The third 100. Who has a lien on that? Only the woman who's owed 300. So woman number one got 50. Woman number two got 50 from the first 100 and 50 from the second 100. Woman number three got 50 from the second 100. She gets nothing from the first 100. And she gets 100 from the third 100. And therefore it works out perfect, of which our Mishnah says that the first woman gets 50, the second woman gets 100, and the third woman gets 150. Rabbi Yaakov Minahar Pekoid, Mishmei de Ravina Amar, he has another pshat in our Mishnah. Again, our Mishnah is speaking about a unique case, but it's not a case of Mechila like Shmuel learned, but rather it's speaking about Shtei Tfisois. Reisha b'shtei tfisos v'seifa b'shtei tfisos. Reisha is speaking about two grabbings, and the seifa is speaking about two grabbings as well. Rashi says grabbings mean that the women grabbed metaltal and movable items to satisfy their liens. But they had to do it in two grabbings. The Ritva asks that we know that metaltal are not meshubah to iksuba, only karka. So the Ritva, in defense of Rashi, says that the husband had stipulated beferish that it should be metaltalin on which the lien would be chal, and if he stipulates beferish that it is metaltalin, the lien goes on metaltalin. And the Ritva himself says that the women grabbed karka, that they grabbed land, in fact, to satisfy their lien. So now we're going to explain how this works in the Mishnah. Reisha b'shtei tfisos, Reisha, meaning the second case of our Mishnah, where there was an estate of 200, is speaking about with two grabbings. The naflu, shivan, v'chamisha v'chad zimna. First, they got a hold of 75 dinrei kesef at one time. And then, umeyev esrim v'chamisha v'chad zimna, and then 125 the second time. And they went twice to the din Torah. So let's start with the first din Torah. The first din Torah was over 75. So the woman of 100 is trying to get from the 75, the woman of 200, and the woman of 300 is trying to get from 75. According to our formula, they have to divide it equally. There's three legitimate liens on this 75 denarim. Each one gets 25. Then what happened was that they were able to get a hold of another 125. And now this is the chiddush here of Rabbi Yaakov and the Harpa Code, that it's like the clock starts ticking again. In other words, till now we said the woman of 100 only has a relationship to the first 100. After the first 100, she can't go any further because her lien is only up to what her lien is worth, which is 100. But here, since she had the first time a din Torah of 75, and all she got from that is 25, and now the estate owes her 75, and now she was able to get another 125 to try to satisfy her lien, so now the clock starts over. We start it again. We say you have a lien of 75 against an estate that is now worth 125. So we give you another chance to try to collect your remaining 75. And the same with the woman of 200. She has another chance to get her 175 from the 125. And the woman of 300, she has a chance to get 275 from the remaining 175. Of course, they're not going to get everything that they are owed, but at least they have a legitimate lien on a certain part of the property, depending on how much is owed to them. So, in this case, the woman of Mona already collected 25 from the first din Torah. She collects another 25. And in fact, all the women collect another 25 from the second din Torah. And now, what is left? 50 is left. After the whole estate is 200. We've had two dinei Torahs here of 75 and 75 each. So we've already gone through 150. And we've given each woman 50. Now what's left from the 250? And on that 50, both the woman of 200 and the woman of 300 have a legitimate lien. So they split up that 50, 25 each. So it comes out the woman of 100 got 50 altogether. Two dinei Torahs, she got 25 each. The woman of 200 and the woman of 300 received 75 altogether. They got 25 from the first 75, 25 from the second 75, and 25 each from the remaining 50. That's the case of the ratio. Seifa continues the Gemara. B'shtei tfisas, it was also two grabbings. And what happens? The naflu 75 b'chad zimna. 75 fell at one time. Umasayim v'esrim v'chamish b'chad zimna. And 225 fell the second time. So now we go through the same formula and the same process. On the first din Torah of 75, all the women have a legitimate lien, and therefore they split it three ways. Each one gets 25. Now came the last 225. The woman of 100 has a lien of 75. She's already received 25. She has 75 to get from 225. The woman of 200 has left 175. She also got 25 already. So she wants 175 out of the 225. And the woman of 300 got 25. So she has 275 left. She wants to get 275 from the remaining 225. So now, we went through the first din Torah. Everybody got 25 each. Now we go to the second din Torah. So we start with the first 75 of the remaining 225. From that also, each of the women has a legitimate lien and they receive 25. Now the woman of the 100 mon is out of the picture because she's already had her two dinei Torah to try to get her maximum, which she had to share with the others. So she winds up with a total of 50. 25 from the first din Torah, 25 from the second din Torah. Now we go to the second woman. The second woman received 25 in the first din Torah out of 75. She receives another 25, which is a third of the first 75 from the 225. The second time they were able to grab 225. And on that 225, the first 75 is split three ways. So she got 25 from that. Now, she originally had $175 dinner claim out of the remaining 225. After the second din of 75, what does she have now? She has a shibud of against an additional 100 out of the remaining 150. Once I've taken away the first 75 between the three women, and I've taken away the second 75 between the three women, I have left out of the whole, the entire pot of 300, I have left 150. How much of a legitimate lien does the woman who's owed 200 have after the two dinei Torah of 75 and 75? She has 100 left because she came into the second Dintara with a lien of 175 against 225. Even after the second Dintara of 75, she still has 100 left. So she has 100, but that 100 she has to share with the woman of 300. So they share it 50 each. And now what is left after the 75 and the 75 and the 100? That is a total of 250. There's left 50. On the last 50, the only one who has a legitimate lien still is the woman of 300. She gets the whole 50. So if we take the tally of woman number two, she winds up with a whole total of 100. She got 25 from the first 75, 25 from the second 75, and she got 50 out of the remaining 100 which she had a lien on. That was 100 of her 175. After the second 75, she's left with a legitimate lien of 100. And she splits that with the other woman of, woman number three. So she gets from that 50 plus her first 25. And her second 25 is a total of 100. And the woman number three got 25 from the first 75, 25 from the second 75 is 50. She got 50 from the next Chalukah of that 100 is a total so far of 100, and there's, after all these divisions, there's 50 left, which she's the only one who has a lien to. She gets a total of 150. So the Mishnah works out. The question that the Rishonim ask over here is, why do we have to say our Mishnah is using the formula that you are entitled to share with other women, the Ksuba, where each of you have a lien on. And once you've shared that, you cannot go further if that was equal to what your lien was on the property. If all your lien was 100, you can only share in the first 100. You can't try to get a chelik of the second 100. So why didn't we make this simple case? What do we have to say? It's speaking about shtei tfisas. Or what do we have to say? It's speaking about there was a mechila involved here to figure out our mishnah. The mishnah should have said poshet. The mishnah should have said that in a case of 100, 200, and 300, there's no mechila, there's no shtei tfisas. So woman number one can only share in the first 100, she gets 33 and a third. Woman number two can share in the first 100, she gets 33 and a third, plus she can share in the second 100 and get half of 100 is 50, she winds up with 83 and a third. And woman number three will share in the first 100 a third, 33 and a third. She'll share in the second 100, 50. And she'll, in the last 100, she gets the whole thing because nobody else can claim that last 100. She'll wind up with 183 and a third. A total altogether will be 300. So why don't we say a pashut case? The answer, the Rishonim say, is the Mishnah did not want to use fractions. And we find in general there's a reluctance to use fractions. And we could see this from an interesting Tosfos in Erevin, Daf Yud Dalid, where the Mishnah over there says that anything that is in a diameter of one, kol sheyesh by kefoy shloisha tefachim, yesh by roich of tefach, a Mishnah in Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Erevin, the last line on the Amud there, that if something is a diameter of one, it has a circumference of three, asks Tosfos on the last line of the Tosfos on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph in Erevin, v'kashya de'ena cheshba meduktik lufi chachmei amidus. It doesn't work out according to the mathematicians, because we know pi. Pi is 3.14, so it's not exactly three. And on this, there's a very interesting question of a very interesting answer that the Maral Mipra gives in the Sefer Gur Aryeh on Masechta Erevin. Because the Gemara there in Masechta Erevin says, Minohani Mili, how do we in fact know that if something has a diameter of one, the circumference is three, and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because I have a Pasuk in Malachim Perek Aleph, Malachim Aleph Perek Zayin, where we learn out from Yamsho Shloima that the Yamsho Shloima was, it says, it was Eser Amah Misvasa Atzvasa. It was 10 Amas from one side to the other. That was the diameter. And then it says in the Pasuk there, Shloishim Ba'ama Yosef Isai. It was 30 Amas around. So ask the Gurarye, what does the Gemara have to bring a raya from a pasuk? This is a metzias. It's a mathematical fact. You figure it out. What do you bring a raya from a pasuk? So the Maral answers one question with the other question. Tosfos has already asked and remains with a question. Tosfos asked that it doesn't work out according to the mathematicians because it's really supposed to be 3.14. So the Gemara asked me, Noani Mili, that's what the Gemara means to ask. How do I know that the Torah doesn't deal with fractions? The Torah only deals with whole numbers. Oh, on that I bring a proof from the Yamsho Shloima, which the Torah writes was 10 diameter and 30 in circumference. When we know that that's not true because of pi is 3.14, but that's what the Gemara wants to bring a proof for. How do we know that the Torah doesn't use fractions, it uses whole numbers? And the Mishnah follows in that way. That's why the Mishnah knew what science and math knows, that is 3.14. But the Mishnah doesn't deal with fractions, it rounds it off to the closest whole number, and therefore it said the diameter is 1, the circumference is 3. So too, here in our Mishnah, the Mishnah did not want to use fractions, therefore it made this unique case of Shtei Tfisas or of Mechila, so it could work out, instead of having 33 and a third, and 83 and a third, and 183 and a third, it made it simple, 50, 75, and 50, 100, and 150, or in the second case of the Mishnah, 50, and the two other women get 75 each. It's interesting that the Rush tells us that the Torah even tries to go to the closest tenth number. For example, we have in the Torah it says that you receive Malkus Arboim. You get 40 lashes. If a person's over a lav, when in fact they only get 39. We near it off to the closest 10 by the Svira. We say that there are 7 weeks. Sheva Shavuos, and it's, how much is that? It should be 49 days. The Torah says Chamishim Yoim. Not only doesn't the Torah use fractions, but in fact, it tries to round off things to the nearest tenth number. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Zu Mishnas Rav Nosson. As we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, that this is Rav Nosson Shita. However, Rebbe disagrees with this whole formula by Ksuba. Rebbe Omer, Ein ani roya dvarav shel Rav Nosson be'elu. I don't see Rav Nosson's words in these. El cholkes b'shava, they divided equally. And as we had said, that business, profit or loss, is similar to our Mishnah, that it's not divided equally, but rather it goes with the amount that was invested proportionately. And our Mishnah also has a similar thing, that it doesn't go equally, it goes with a certain formula, but Rebbe says, no, there's no formula, you divide it equally. And Rashi explains, the last Rashi on the Amud, that by a business venture, Einichanami, there it goes, the profit or loss goes according to proportionally how much you invested. However, over here, a person, all of his nechosim are responsible to satisfy the lien of every one of his wives. So even the woman who has 100, until she gets her 100, she's equal to the woman who has 300. And therefore, if all the property had, the estate had, was 300, we wouldn't use the formula that we used before in our Gemara. But rather, we would say they have to divide it all equally, and each woman, even the woman who's owed 100, would receive 100. The woman of 200 would only receive 100. The woman of 300 would only receive 100. After the woman of 100 is satisfied, if the estate, if they find more money, then they divide it equally between woman number 2 and number 3 until woman number 2 has been totally satisfied. And then whatever's left is used to satisfy woman number 3. But initially, if there's not enough for everybody, there's no formulas, there's no proportion, Rebbe Sheet is, you divide it equally until the first woman's entire lien is satisfied. Continues the Gemara to explain our Mishnah. V'chein shloishi atilu. This is the third case, the last case that we were speaking about in the Mishnah. Three shutvim that pooled their money together. They share in the profit and the loss proportionally. And right away, the Gemara brings a member of Shmuel that seems to contradict this. And the Gemara, at the end of Amid Beis, is going to ask that Shmuel contradicts our Mishnah. What does Shmuel say? Amr Shmuel, Shnaim shetilu kizem on avizem asayim. If two people contributed to a pocket, meaning that they pooled their resources together. One gave 100, one gave 200, as we turn to Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. Haschar le'emtza, not proportionately the way our Mishnah said it, but rather they divide the profit equally amongst both of them. Amar Rabba said, Rabba, Mistavra Milsad Shmuel, it makes sense that when did Shmuel say this? Bishor l'charisha v'oymed l'charisha. If they bought a shore to plow, and that's what it's being used for, then they share in the profits equally, even though one person donated less than the other. But since he can tell the person who donated more that if it wouldn't be for my little contribution, you wouldn't have been able to buy the shore and use it for Harisha. So therefore, my contribution, although it's little, is considered equal to your large contribution, and therefore we can share equally in the profits. Avol continues Rabba. Bishor l'charisha v'amid l'tvicha. But what happens if the shore originally was supposed to be used for plowing? And then they decided that it looks like it's a fat animal and it's ready to be shechted, and they shechted it. Zen neitel fimoisev. As Rashi explains, here each one takes according to proportionally what they invested, because for the butcher, it's not necessary to have the whole animal together. He can take a slab of meat and leave the rest. So now we don't look at it as if they have equal in the profits, but rather we say each one gets back what he invested, and he will gain the profits according to his initial investment. Rashi says in the fourth line, V'hodinakad reishis mekhan l'charisha rebusashmin, it's a chiddush. Da'afagav demikar adai telemifalig b'shava nachas l'shutvas hashta d'shavach b'bosr shachtu v'mischalik l'evorv yitel ish l'fim oisav. It's telling us the chiddush that even though to begin with they wanted to share equally, but now that they actually shechted it, each one gets according to what he has invested. But einachanami, if according to him, if it would be that they originally took it for shechita and they wound up with shechita, that would certainly be that they divided up according to what proportionally according to their investment. He's telling us a chiddush that even though originally it was done to share equally, it was done l'charisha, if it wound up l'shchita, they get proportionally. But he's not trying to say that if originally it was l'shchita and it wound up l'shchita, that the din would be different. There for sure the din would be that it goes according to what they invested. Continues the Gemara, Rav Amnuna, my Rav Amnuna disagrees, and he says, "Afilu shor l'charisha v'ayma l'tficha," that even if originally they took it ashore for charisha, and now it is going to be shechted, haschar le'emtza. Since originally they made up that it should be shared, because if it's used for plowing, you can't plow unless you had the contribution of the smaller donation as well, and therefore he's considered an equal partner to the one who gave the larger contribution. So since that was what they made up to begin with, even though it changed, we leave it with the original deal, and therefore the schar is be'emtza. The Meiri speaks out that even if, according to Rav Amnuna, he goes so far to say that even if it was tficha to begin with and tficha to the end, the schar would be be'emtza, and it would not be lefima oisav. He's just using the same case as Rab is using. And what's the svara? If originally they made it up for tficha and they ended with tficha, why here do we say that the schar is be'emtza? So the Rishonim say a svara, because it could be, since they didn't stipulate anything, they just said we're buying it l'shchita, but they didn't spell out how much each one is going to get. So it could be that even the one who gave less, he could say, I gave less, but because I'm a shrewd businessman, you know that I could develop this business venture into a success. And therefore, I had to put in less capital than you did because I'm sharp in business. So therefore, Rav Amnuna holds that if they didn't speak out beferish that it's going to be proportionately, then even if originally it was l'shchita, the halacha would be that the schar would be be'emtza. This is how the Meiri learns the shita of Rav Amnuna. Meisvei the Gemara asks a question now on Rabba, who made a distinction between shor l'charisha v'oymed l'charisha, or shor l'charisha and oymed l'tvicha. We learned in a Tosefta. Shnayim she'tilu l'kiz, two people pooled their money together. Zem, one of his emesayim, one gave 100, one gave 200. Haschar li'emtza, so the prophet goes in the middle. My love, isn't this speaking about b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'tvicha? That even if it was a shor originally for charisha and then it wound up being slaughtered, that it would still go b'emtza. So this seems to be like Rav Amnuna. V'tiyufta de Rabba, it's difficult on Rabba because Rabba says that in this case, the din would be, you would get proportionate. The Gemara answers, loy, b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'charisha. The Tosefta means, when do you split it down the middle? If it started out for Harisha and you needed this person who gave the small amount in order to buy an ox, so therefore he shares equally, va'oymed l'Harisha, and that's what it wound up. So the Gemara says right away, avol shor l'Harisha va'oymed l'tvichamai. What would be the din if the shor would be for Harisha originally, but now it is ready for tvicha? What are you telling me the din would be? That zen noitel fi moisev, zen noitel fi moisev, that each one would get proportionate of the profits? So then I have a question. Ad tani sefer, it says over there in the sefer of the Tosefta, locher zebishaloi, as Rashi explains, if this one who had 200 took stronger oxen, v'zebishaloi, and this one who had 100, he took weaker oxen, v'nis arvun, then they pooled their oxen together, that the weak ox would work together with the strong ox, zen noitel fimoisev, and they made profits, each one takes part of the profit according to the amount of work, since they are not, as Rashi says, a weak ox is not going to work as well as a strong ox, so the strong ox did most of the work. So proportionately, each one will get back a portion of the investment, of the profits, based on what his investment was. So in this case, the Tosefta says, you don't divide it equally. So if, according to you, Rabba, then in a case where they change the deal from Harisha to Shechita, the din is that they take proportionately, so why do I have to make a whole new case that they bought separate oxen and then they pooled the oxen together to do the work together? Let me make the difference in that case itself. When do I say that you split the profits equally, b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'charisha? If you started out for plowing and you ended plowing, avol b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'tvicha, but if you started for plowing and you ended off for shechting, for slaughtering the animal, zen noitel fimoisev. So why didn't I say that in the same case? Why do I have to go to a whole different case? So it must be that only in the case where we bought a weak ox and a strong ox do we say that we divide proportionally. But when it's an ox for Harisha and it winds up l'shchita, the din will be that we split it, like Rav Hamnuna said. It's a question against Rabba. The Gemara says Rabba will answer as follows. Hachinami kama. Rabba will say that's exactly what the Tosefta means. Bamedvor mamurim b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'charisha. When do you split it equally? That's only if it was originally used for plowing and then wound up as plowing. Avol b'shor l'charisha v'oymed l'tvicha. But where it started out as plowing and it wound up being slaughtered, nasa kimi. Then it's tantamount to the case where everybody understands you divide proportionally. Which case is that? Shalach zebishaloi. This one took a strong ox for 200, and this one took a weak ox for 100. Vinis arvu, and then they pooled the two oxen together. That when the profits are divided, zenoit lufimoisev, zenoit lufimoisev. This one takes proportionally according to his investment of money, and this one takes proportionally according to his investment of money. That is self-understood. And in the case where it starts l'charisha and ends l'shchita, it's tantamount to that case. That's how Rabba will learn the Tosefta. And now comes the question on Shmuel, which we mentioned before. It's none. We learned in our Mishnah. V'chein shloisha, three people, sheitil lekis, that they put their money, one gave more and one gave less. Three different amounts, similar to the three women in our Mishnah. One gave 100, one gave 200, one gave 300. Pichas u'ayisiru, they made a profit or a loss. Kacho yuchalk, and they would divide the same way, proportionately. So my love, aren't we speaking about pichasu, pichasu mamish? That they made a loss. Hoisiru, hoisiru mamish, that they made a profit. The partners made a loss or a profit. And yet the Mishnah says they divided proportionally. This is against Shmuel, who said that two people who invest 100 and the other one invested 200, that they divided profits equally. Our Mishnah says not like that. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Ravua, Loi, you learned not correct shot in the Mishnah. It doesn't mean that the partners made a profit or a loss. If they made a profit or a loss, then in fact the din would be like Shmuel, that you would split it down the middle. When do I split it proportionately? When there was a profit and loss in the coins themselves. Hoisiru, they made a profit, zuzicharate. They were dealing, wheeling and dealing back and forth. And finally, even though they started out with old silver coins, they wound up with new silver coins. And in those days, the value of coins was not like today. It was representative value, but rather it was intrinsic value. So now, if somebody gave 10 silver coins to begin with, weak ones, rubbed out ones, and he got back 10 new ones, how many do you get back? Whatever you put in, because this profit or loss was in the essence of the coin itself. And therefore, whatever you gave in, the number of coins you gave in, that's what you get back. But where you made outside profit or outside loss, not inherent in the coin itself, there the din would be like Shmuel, that you would split it equally. And what's the case of loss? Pichasu is astira detzinisa, as Rashi explains, when a coin was totally rubbed out and the authority said it has to be taken off the market, you cannot use it anymore as a coin, they would have a use for it by putting it at the bottom of somebody's foot who had a wound. That's what it was used for. So if they gave in new coins and they got back through their trades, they got back these old worn out coins that weren't worth anything, only for a wound at the bottom of a foot. So if a person gave in 10 coins, he would get back the 10 coins, even though he had lost a lot of money. Proportionate to what you put in, that's exactly what you got back in terms of coins. But when we're talking about profit or loss, not intrinsically in the coins themselves, the profit or loss, according to Shmuel, goes not proportionally, but it goes haschar la'emtza. It's split exactly down the middle.